Hoffa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, "Let us make man in our image." You see, God's word, his verbal word, is powerful. It's creation. How big is your God?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
How big is your God? How big is your God? Is he as big as your life, your family? How big is your God? Evidently, it was an issue with the Jews because Psalms 32 and 33 are linked together originally at one psalm to document the verbal word of God, because the verbal word of God created our universe. And he specifically states there's three types of verbal words of God. In Psalms 33, look at the Bible if you would. In Psalms 33, as mentioned, Psalms 32 and 3 actually do go together. Psalms 32, very simply, is the God of heaven, is the God of history, and this month we're talking about he is our creator. It's the beginning of the year. He's creating for us a world in the past, a world now, and a present world, and a world of the future. It's a great time to live. Who knows what'll happen? It doesn't matter who ends up saying, "God spoke to me in a dream that said that we're going to have a cataclysmic event of millions of people dying." Could be. That's a pretty safe prediction, by the way. Who knows what's going to happen this next year? But we do know that God spoke the world into existence. And in Psalms 32, you find God as a redeemer. God's major theme in 32 is mercy. God's mercy. And then in 33, we find his great, majestic position. And the three words that really are powerful words, I read the first one in verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right." His verbal word is a moral word. Then you find in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." It was a manifest power of his word. It wasn't just a moral power of his word. The word was right. Are there right words and wrong words? Evidently. But he also says it's a manifest word. The word that created the heavens that were made, the verbal word of God. He does finish it by stating in verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth." Who's the inhabitants of the earth? The 6.3 billion. And he said, this is the manifest word. And then ultimately, notice verse 9, "For he spake and it was done. He commanded. It stood fast." That's the majestic power of God. He spoke. You see, this is the psalmist's overview of Genesis 1, because every word that was spoken created something. This summed up Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then he documents the next 6 days. And all of those start with, "And God said there was light." And God said there'd be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Third day, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered." The fourth day, God said, "Let there be light in the firmament." The fifth day, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." The sixth day, God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature." And God said, "Let us make man in our image." You see, God's word, his verbal word, is powerful. It's creation. How big is your God? You see, our world that we live in today, and my little world that I live in, I get consumed with it every single day. I see it. And I think the whole world revolves around my little world, our little island. But the fact is, we got a big, big earth. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let's take a look at our earth for a minute. Maybe this will help you to illustrate what this text is stating. Maybe to help you realize that when we look at our earth, maybe we need to start with our little auditorium and move out from there, moving out away from our little village to our little island, to our little part of the world, to our earth, our planet, one of nine planets. As someone reminded me, Pluto's no longer a planet. I don't know if they call it declassified, but that's still a planet in my little mind because I memorized it when I was a kid, so it's still nine planets. So there. This is the earth that we live in, and thankfully, with all the advanced technology and astronomy today, we know by far more than we ever did before in this universe. The heavens declare the glory of God. Our earth, it's huge, it's massive. But it's just one planet among the whole universe that evidently, according to God, his verbal word was given. The heavens were made, the host of them. What's the host of them? That's the other planets. That's the other stars. We happen to live on one planet that we know of. There's no other life on any other earth or any other planet. And according to scriptures, this is the only planet at this point that humans live on. Let's take just a moment, as someone sent this to me this week, and I'm not sure where it came from, and I would give documentation if I could, but let's do a comparison of our heavenly bodies that evidently God spoke verbally into the earth, that you end up having our earth that we see. But let's do a little comparative value, because our earth by size, our celestial body, which is a planet according to the dictionary, that our earth compared to the other planets that we have is fairly significant in size. According to Venus and Mars and Mercury and Pluto, which is no longer there. I'm sorry, Pluto. But nonetheless, you get the point. Now, there are a number of other planets as well. They're bigger than that. For example, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and then Earth all of a sudden looks a lot smaller than the rest of our known planets. I feel insignificant right now with our little Earth. But notice our sun, how big the sun is in contrast to the big planet of Jupiter. All of a sudden, our planets look rather small. But then if you move beyond the sun, our technically star, our massive luminous ball of plasma, to other stars that we do know are out there in the universe, you'll find that Jupiter here is invisible at this scale. Remember, Jupiter was the biggest planet. Then all of a sudden, you go to Betelgeuse and not Taurus. All of these are stars that so make our little world kind of small, insignificant by size. But in God's providential plan, he says, by the word of the Lord, that expanding universe didn't explode into existence as a big bang, but it was spoken to existence. That included the heavenly bodies, the host of them, our earth, our world, our universe, our galaxies. It's beyond our comprehension, my friend. It really is. But his verbal word is documented by what we see every single day. And the Bible says that the creation in which he gave is groaning in travail. Because this perfect world that God created became sin-cursed. He put inhabitants on the earth. This is the only planet that we know has happened. And he put it there, verse 8, so that all the earth, we would fear the Lord. All the inhabitants of the world would stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. Do you stand in awe of him? When was the last time you just stopped and said, God, you are awesome. You spoke this into existence. That our little earth that seems like one dot compared to our known galaxy and hundreds of millions of other galaxies exploding away from us. That's a big God. And if we left it there, we should all walk out of here unbelievably wanting to connect to this God. But he knew that that verbal word that would ultimately declare the glory of God, and by its own creation, condemns man because of our condition. But it would be unjust for that God of our universe to bring condemnation without some kind of redemption, some kind of payment, which is why God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. From the very foundations of the world, he planned it. This was going to happen. And that's why in John 1, that word became flesh. And then he gave us a documented word of God that we would then be able to know and take us from this world back down to the world that we live in every single day. Back down to our part of the world and our little island. And out of our little island of 160,000 people, our little village, and down to, well, here, where you sit right now. This awesome God of our known universe to where we are. So where are you? Now, we've been talking about financial goals, and well, we should. Physical goals, and well, we should. And you should have goals. You should end up knowing, where do I want to head? What do I want to do this next year? What you want to do with your family? What you want to do academically? What books do you want to read? Where do you want to go? Can I suggest to you also spiritually, you should be able to establish some goals. What you should be able to accomplish, hold on to. Because God's creation, that's so big, how big is your God? Is he big enough to come into your known world? The world that you live in every day. And their verbal word that he created the universe, created space, said, I'm going to give you my written word in order to help you in your known sphere. Acts 20. Look that up if you would. Acts 20, verse 32, because this is a verse among many verses that remind us of our theme that he is able. He's able to make us good stewards. We're not going to be looking at Luke 19 and 20. Actually, we're going to be looking at Acts 20. We will be looking at Luke 19 and 20 over the next few weeks. But if you've stayed with me on the idea of God's creation, let's look at him as our circumstances, the written word now, rather than just the verbal word, because God's creation includes us. And he created us to be conformed into his image. And the way that we're going to be conformed into his image is by taking the verbal word that now becomes the written word, which you have in your hands. And notice in verse 32 of chapter 20 that Paul says, and now, brethren, I commend you. I'm giving you to God and to the word of his grace. That's scripture. That's what you call the Bible. I'm committing you, he says, to serve. I'm giving you to God and to the word of his grace, that scripture, which is what? Say this with me, which is able to build you up. Which is able to do what? Build you up. It's able to edify you. It's the idea of a construction, not the foundation, but the building itself. He says, just like your life is like this building right here, and it took time and took materials and it took people. Well, that same image is what Paul says. Now listen. I'm talking to you in churches, and I'm saying to you, the scriptures, the written word, is what's able to build your life up. Is your life spiritually built up? Is it strong? Is it secure? Is it stable?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.